If you went to the church picnic earlier this year, you might have seen just out of Campbell's Creek a gentleman who had a farm, and he had a row of foxes lined up along his fence. When we went down there in the church picnic, I reckon there would have been about 40 foxes sitting or being laid out along his fence. Well, Linda and I went down there just not long ago, and he certainly added considerably to his number. And surprisingly, it wasn't long after that I heard a thing on the ABC about him. And I looked it up on the web, and he's reported that he has over 160 foxes hanging on his fence now. And some people asking, why on earth do you want to do that? Well, he's quoted as saying this: "We hang the dead foxes on the fence to make people aware of the number of foxes threatening farmers." So he wants to bring awareness of how many foxes are out there and the destructive nature that they can cause unless we do something about it. And so here's a man that knows how dangerous foxes can be, and he's determined to not have any foxes in his paddocks, because he doesn't want them to hurt his livestock, obviously. So there's people like that, and then there's people like me. If you come to my place, you'll find no foxes on my fence, even though I know there's foxes out in the paddock. I've seen them. I had a smelly kangaroo carcass, and I dragged it about 100 metres away from the fence. And that evening, I thought, I wonder if there's a fox out there. So I got Josh's super-duper spotlight, and sure enough, there was a fox there. Now, by the time you've got to run down to the shed, open the shed, find the keys, unlock 100 locks to get it, and get your gun and put everything in and get back up there, it's well and truly gone. But obviously, there's foxes. Josh has gone down there and seen at least two at one time. So I know there's foxes in the paddock, and I'd love to get rid of them just to make sure they don't hurt my lambs or chickens. But the reality is I'm not quite as motivated as that other man to go spotlighting in winter where it's all cold to try and find these foxes. So I'm just hoping they don't cause too much carnage, and hopefully they'll just go away. Hence, when you look at my fence, I have no foxes. And I find it interesting that foxes have been a problem for a very long time. They're even mentioned in the Word of God. King Solomon mentions foxes in the Song of Solomon. And in chapter 2, verse 15, he says this: "Take us the foxes." Now, that just meaning, take away the foxes. Will you get rid of the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines? For our vines have tender grapes. And so here he asks to get rid of the foxes because they will come in and destroy the vines that they have for their grapes. And it's where we get the phrase, little foxes spoil the vines. Don't let the size of a fox fool you. They can still cause a lot of damage. Basically, that's what he's saying. You see, in those days, the farmers would build hedges made predominantly of thorn bushes to protect their vines, or it may be their sheep, or whatever it may be. And that was to protect them from thieves getting over the fence and trying to get them, and also wild animals. The only problem was that foxes were so small, they were able to weave their way in between all these bushes and get in and get the vines. Or sometimes they would even chew through these bushes and get into the vines and destroy the grapes. And so that's why they had a problem with foxes, and that's why we have this: take us, or get rid of the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Meaning there's a need to be on the lookout and to eradicate the foxes that are there in your paddocks, not just the big animals that can go in and cause trouble. And there's a very good lesson here for every Christian. You know, we see some sins as bears and lions. We see them as sins that can cause great damage to us. And it's because of this, we do everything that we possibly can to protect ourselves from them and to not yield to them. But then we look at other sins and other temptations that come in along our way as sins that seem just small like a fox. Oh, what harm could they do? What harm could that little sin do? That little act of disobedience. And we think, well, that's okay. That can't cause too much harm. And so with the Christian, we will build our defences and stand against the things that seem big and terrible, but we often let our guard down with the little things that don't seem to be as harmful. I don't know too many Christians that are going to put themselves in temptations where they're going to start taking drugs, or they're going to kill someone, or they're going to commit adultery. But although we may guard ourselves against these things, let our guard down when it comes to having that bitter heart within, or just speaking those little words of gossip, or that lustful look, or that little lie to save a bit of embarrassment. It's the little things that often sneak into our lives and get past our defences. Because in our mind, they're just little. What harm can they actually do? Just one little look surely can't hurt. Just a little bit of flirting can't be that bad, could it? And often we can let the little foxes run around in our spiritual life, thinking they won't cause too much harm. And they end up taking the fruit, the fruit of the Christian life, the joy that should be there if we yield to the Lord. And they steal it all, and we wonder how we lost that joy that was promised to us. But what we discover from the Word of God is little things do affect us. One thing does lead to another. Sin is sin, regardless if we consider it to be big or if we consider it to be small. You know, when the Apostle Paul was trying to convince the church at Corinth of this very same point, he doesn't use foxes to explain it to them. He uses yeast or leaven. We know it as yeast today, but in those days they would refer to it as leaven. Paul had to deal with a very unsavory situation where a young man was having an immoral relationship with his stepmother. And this relationship wasn't taking place amongst the idol worshippers where they had no morals. This was taking place amongst the believers there at the church at Corinth. What made things worse was the church knew what was taking place and they did nothing about it. And so these two people would come to the church, maybe sing a psalm, how they love the Lord, maybe even serve the Lord in one way or another, and all the time committing this terrible sin. That alone is bad enough. Yet, the church knew what was happening, and they didn't do anything about it. You see, they had this idea, well, okay, we know what's going on, but they're not going. Their sin isn't going to affect us. And so they did nothing about it. But Paul explains the danger of not dealing with sin by using leaven. Let me read what it says in 1 Corinthians 5. He says, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" Just a little bit of yeast will actually spread through and affect the entire lump. And so he says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened." And so Paul uses this example of how yeast will spread throughout the whole lump and affect it. And I suspect a lot of you know the workings of yeast. Must admit I was rather ignorant of it all until we brought, like probably 3/4 of Australia, bought one of those bread makers. All of a sudden when you're going to make your own bread, and I remember, there you get the perfect amount of flour that you're meant to put in it, the perfect amount of water and I think salt, and then you get these little satchels with yeast. And you're meant to put, I think it was 1/2 teaspoon or something, but I was amazed at how fine and little those granules are. And you think, me, probably the only person in Australia did it, that surely that's not enough. We need to just put a little bit more, all right? You soon discover that you don't need too much, and then it starts to really come up if you put too much in. Discovering it only takes a little bit of yeast compared to everything else to actually spread throughout the lump and actually make it rise. And Paul is explaining this to the church at Corinth. You need to realize that just a little bit of sin will spread and affect the whole church. And so you need to deal with it. You need to get rid of that sin. Either confront those people and get them to repent, or ask them to leave the church. But you need to deal with it. And you know, in that same way, we can act just like that church, not just as a church, but as individuals. We may know of a sin in our life or a sinful practice, but instead of eradicating it out of our life, we think, well, what damage could that do? It's just a little bit. Not realizing that it will spread throughout our entire being. It'll affect our mind. It'll affect our attitude. It'll then affect our actions. It'll affect those around us. It will start to spread and cause that decaying process. Because that's what yeast does. It ferments and starts the decaying process. And that's exactly what sin does. That's why often in the Word of God, yeast is used, or leaven is used, as a picture of sin. Little do we know that little sin starts the process of decay. At times, little foxes come into our life. We look at them and think, isn't it a cute little thing? I might actually keep it and try and make it a pet. And little do we realize it causes a lot of harm. I guess most of us have had a hole in our tooth. You know, they hurt, but they're only little compared to the whole body. But isn't it true, when you've got a hole in your tooth and there's decay in there, it affects your entire being. And not just hurts, it makes you feel miserable. Everything is affected just from one little hole. You leave it and it just starts to decay more and more. You need to get it early. I know that when it comes to getting a flat tire, I've had a number of flat tires. Not once have I ever got out and thought, sort of like a big hole like that, and go, well, no wonder I've got a flat tire. Look at how big that hole is. Generally, you can never find the hole, but it is big enough to affect the entire tire and affects the entire car as well. And in the Bible, we see person after person who thought just a little sin wouldn't hurt them, to find out afterwards it had a great effect. Let's have a look at a couple of people who discovered this. Turn to Genesis chapter 19. In Genesis chapter 19, we have the story of God's judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Because Lot was a righteous man, God wanted to spare him from the judgment, like he does with all righteous people. And he tells them, I don't have the exact verse here, but this wasn't the one I wanted you to look at. He says, these were the commandments: escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And so that's what God told them to do. Go, run, don't stay in the plain, go to the mountain and don't look behind you. Yet we find in verse 26 that when they were going, Lot's wife had like a little fox run through her mind, thinking, surely one little look won't hurt. I'll just have a little look around and see what's happening. And it says there in verse 26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That little look had huge consequences. I don't know what you look like or what it feels like to become a pillar of salt, but there's not much left, all right? That was the end of her life. She died from that little look. How much harm can one little look cause? It can take your life. It can destroy everything. Have a look over in Genesis chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 2 in verse 17, we see here that Eve discovered how little foxes can destroy everything. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17, she was told very clearly, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt," what? "Not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." But we know that after the conversation with Satan, she now thought, well, what harm could one little bite do? In fact, she thought it could actually help her. And so we read in chapter 3, verse 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat." That one bite changed everything. How much damage can one little bite cause to a piece of fruit? You know, it's not like it's dangerous to eat fruit. It wasn't the fact that she ate this fruit, it was the fact that it was an act of disobedience. And it changed everything. That little bite affected her husband, affected her children, and has affected all her descendants from that time, which includes us. Why are we heading to an eternity in hell unless God does a miracle in us? Because of that one bite of disobedience. Why do we struggle with sin every day of our life? Because of that one bite of disobedience. It had a big effect, but it was just a little bite. Friends, don't be deceived by the fox. It is very dangerous, even though it's so little. Turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 11. We see one other little look that caused a lot of pain. In 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 2, we read, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon." How dangerous could it be to just look at that lady bathing? How dangerous could it be to invite her back to your house? What damage could that cause? Well, if you could talk to David, he would be able to tell you at the end of the life that caused a lot of damage. How that one look started a process of decay that led to a world of pain and sorrow in his life and those around him. It led to him committing adultery. It led to him committing murder. It led to him telling a bunch of lies and deceiving a bunch of people because of it. It led to the death of a newborn. It led to great depression and sorrow for months on end with him. Not to mention all the sorrow it caused those around him as well. Did that little look grow into something big and terrible? My word, it did. And there are plenty of others in God's word who thought just one little sin wouldn't hurt. But it spread like yeast and ruined them. You know, we mustn't be tricked into thinking that the little fox you allow into your life won't hurt you. Because they will. And I wonder, do you have a little bit of yeast tucked away under the surface? A little bit of sin tucked away. You know it's wrong, but you think you can keep it there and it'll just sit there and do nothing. little do you know that it's already starting that decaying process in your life, in your mind, your attitude. I wonder if you see a few little foxes running around in your life and you think, they won't hurt too much. Maybe it's the little fox of rock music. You know, that beat that feeds the flesh. You know, I'll tell you, it will affect you. It'll make you very sensual so that you'll base your decisions on what feels good rather than what is godly and right. It'll make you rebellious. It'll make you hate to submit to authority, any authority in life. When you are listening to something that's against God and His authority, well, then it'll make you stand against every piece of authority. You know, when I was a young man, I tried to convince myself it wouldn't cause much problem. I could have both. I can love the Lord and serve Him and be a Christian and have my little bit of leaven in the form of rock music. And I wondered why I was so fleshly. I was drawn to everything that felt good rather than drawn to what was godly. I wondered why I was always rebellious in my spirit, hated to be told what to do. Well, I knew once I shot that fox and put it on the fence, I realized the transformation in my own attitude when I allowed godly music into my life. How I sought godly things rather than fleshly things. How I wanted to submit to authority and because I wasn't full of rebellion. It makes a big difference. Don't think it won't permeate like yeast throughout your whole life if you listen to that stuff. Maybe it's a lust, looking at something on the computer or on the TV or movies or just simply reading them in the novels. And you think these things won't lead to anything else. And you let the fox live. Maybe it's flirting. Flirting with that unsaved person at work that you know is forbidden fruit. Maybe as a married person, flirting with someone other than your spouse. And you're thinking that I can just form a relationship, I can be friends, and that's as far as it's ever will go. And it's not going to hurt anything. And you let the fox live. Don't be fooled by how small the fox is. It will cause great carnage. Could be just some bitterness towards just that one person. I don't have a problem with anyone else, just that one person. And you let bitterness remain. Little words of gossip. And they're only little words. The list could go on. Or maybe you're like Lot's wife, where lately you've been looking back at the life that was. Yes, you're saved. You have surrendered and yielded to the Lord in so many areas, but of late you're starting to just want to look back and see what life used to be like. And you think, what harm could looking back do? Well, that's a fox you need to hang on the fence, because when you start looking back, that's where you will end up. We need to set our affections on things above, not on those things of this world or in the past. Maybe you're acting like Eve lately. You've been tempted to try a certain sin just to see what it's like. And you think, just one little try surely can't hurt. One drink surely can't hurt. One puff, one look, one try. I just want to see what it's like, and then I'll just let it go. That's a little fox that needs to be hung on the fence. Don't be fooled by its cuteness. Or maybe you're living like those two people at Corinth. You've sinned, you've enjoyed it, and you're perplexed. You want to have both. And so you have your sin, but you come to church. You have your sin, but you still come to youth group. Be assured that of one thing, it won't work. That sin will start to creep and take over everything, just like yeast does to a loaf of bread. It will spread into your mind and your heart and your attitude, where the things of God and going to church and youth group won't seem that appealing because you will have been infected entirely by your sin. Don't be fooled with Satan's lies. Little things matter. Foxes may be little, but they must not be allowed to live, or they will cause great harm. I wonder how many foxes are hanging around on your spiritual fence. You know, there are things that other Christians may think, that's fine to let them roam around, but you see the danger. A bit like that man down past Campbell's Creek. He sees the harm that it can cause the farmer, so he's going to eradicate every fox he finds. I wonder if you're like that. You have dozens of foxes on your spiritual fence because you can see the danger in even the little things, and I've got rid of them and they're hanging on my fence. Or does your spiritual fence look more like my fence at home? There's nothing on it. You're too lazy to eradicate anything. You're just hoping they won't cause too much trouble. Well, I think God's word makes it very clear. You may get away with it with a real fox, but you don't get away with it with sin. Sin will destroy. God is not mocked. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. You know, God says that sin will destroy. And so can I just encourage you this evening? If there's something that you have been convincing yourself, it's just little, I don't need to worry about it, please worry about it and get it sorted before it does too much harm. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us, Lord, this exhortation, and that, Father, sin is like leaven and it spreads. I pray that each person here, both young and old, would see the seriousness of it, regardless if we think it is dangerous or not. And Lord, purge it from our life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.